Czyli Julia did the PhD in Padua, working with Beppi Tormin, the Tormin that I'm sure you know, London. And then in 2015, and then she visited LAM for a year with a joint fellowship between Gini and Osebu, the former IFU program. Then she spent 4 years at the Max Planck Institute for Astrophysics in Garching.
5 years.
5 years. Yeah, you're right. You have to count also the first year.
Yes.
And now she is a Gliese Fellow at the Institute of Theoretical Astrophysics in Heidelberg since a couple of years now. Welcome, Julia. I invite all the people as usual to interrupt the speaker and ask at any time. And let's go.
Okay, wait, let me share. That's slide five. Okay. You see it fine, I think.
Yes, it's okay.
Or you see, I don't understand. Or you also see. Always try this advanced thing. But okay. Now you only see the slide, right? Okay. So yeah, hello everyone. Thanks for having me. Thanks, Carlo, for the invitation. So as he said, I worked a bit in Italy and then in Germany and in France and then again in Germany. And what I try to do in general as a representation is something that is described by this figure here. So my main focus has always been dark matter. So starting from large scale simulations, going to ZOOM, going to cold dark matter versus alternative model. And so what I try to do is to use the simulations to connect predictions from physics, so from the structure formation models and how we expect the galaxies and halos to look like with observation. And in particular, what I've been working a lot in the past years is gravitational lensing, as this beautiful images here. And then something new, which is a prediction of how the X-ray luminosities of galaxy looks like. And so all I will talk about in this half an hour is going to be about the range mass of elliptical galaxies, more or less, so massive galaxies, not cluster, not smaller galaxies, because the what I worked on, especially in Munich, was a prediction for the Lensing signal of galaxy-galaxy Lensing, so where the background source is a galaxy, the lens is a galaxy, and a typical mass range of galaxies that our lenses are redshift 0.5, it's 10 to the 13 solar masses. So just as a context, all of this is going to be about massive galaxies. And in particular, so some things that I've been doing recently are comparison between cold dark matter and alternative dark matter models. So just as a general overview, these are all the possible models of dark matter that have been explored in the past or are being explored now. And so there's many, many possibilities, even though we mostly look into the cold dark matter model. And the two things that are also more popular right now as alternative for CDM are warm dark matter and self-interacting dark matter, which you might be familiar with. So warm dark matter is this family of models where that basically behaves like cold dark matter. So particles only interact through gravity, but they are a smaller mass. So while cold dark matter, the stereotypical candidate for particles is the are WIMPs, so massive giga electron volt particles. For warm dark matter, you have smaller masses and so faster particles. And this means that some of the perturbation have been erased and you lose the small scale structure from the halo. And then something else that it's will be the main focus of this talk, which is similar to warm dark matter in some aspect, is self-interacting dark matter. So this is model that was introduced to explain similar tensions in observations, so the number of small scale structure or the density profiles of halos. And it has extra ingredients with respect to the standard cold dark matter models in the sense that particles not only interact through gravity, but also through strong interaction. And so they can exchange energy and momentum, and they, in high density region, they can scatter away from each other. And so this is, as you see here, only one, again, alternative, a bit weirder model of dark matter. And in itself, self-interacting dark matter is a family of models. And so here you can see an example. So these are density profiles. So the y-axis is the dark matter density profile of dark matter halos as a function of the radius. And CDM is the white line. So you predict that in CDM, all halos follow the NFW profile. So they're very steep in the center, and then the density profile decreases. And then all the other lines represent different self-interacting dark matter models where the cross-section of this interaction between the particles are different. And so the strongest these particles are able to interact, then in high density regions, such as in the center of the halos, they interact more and more. And since they don't only attract each other, but also scatter away, the main visible effect of self-interacting dark matter is to create a core at the center of the galaxy. So instead of in the halo, instead of having a steep central profile, you have a core. And so this is a link to gravitational lensing, because in lensing you have the mass distribution of your lens determines the strength of the lensing signal and how big the arcs that you see in galaxies and galaxy clusters are. And so in a way, self-interacting dark matter modifies with respect to cold dark matter macroscopic properties of galaxies, such as the density profiles, the halo shapes, again, for this interaction, the lensing signal, and as I will show at the end, also a bit how what you predict for the X-ray emission from the central galaxy. So the point that I want to make now is that many of these predictions, as in other fields of simulations and comparison to the observation, so far mainly relied on simulation that didn't include any baryonic physics. So these profiles, for instance, they only include dark matter. There are no baryons. There's not a galaxy at the center of this halo. And so, of course, at the center, you only have dark matter. You create these cusps. Is then destroyed by self-interactions. And in all, so in dark matter-only simulations, all halos produce a core. Dwarf galaxy halos, Milky Way halos, cluster halos, depending on the strength, they all have a core of different sizes. And so now the point is what happens when you add baryons, because it has been shown in cold dark matter simulation that once you add the baryons, actually even the properties of the dark matter distribution can change. And so this is what I've been working for the past couple of years, and I will show results that come from different simulations. So one is a series of zoom-in simulations that I've done from the illustrious big box simulation in, like, well, now 3 years ago. So what we've done is select galaxies in the simulation that look like the observed lens galaxies. So this is a plot of stellar mass versus effective radius of galaxies in the illustrious, and in this case in the Eagle simulations, against some points for observed lens galaxies. So the lens galaxies are all elliptical galaxies at redshift 0.2 to 0.5. And so we, among all these, we chose the system that looked more like the observations in terms of mass, in terms of velocity dispersion, in terms of morphology. And I took, for computational reasons, I took 9, 10 of these, and I created a higher resolution simulation of these systems in cold dark matter and in self-interacting dark matter. And so the points are here on the right. Doesn't matter now. So the triangles are the CDM run and the squares are the self-interacting dark matter. But just to show that this involves model, they kind of follow the relations for the observed system. So this is one of the simulations. And then another, of course, has some limitations because it's only 10 systems. And so now we're expanding to use a box, an entire cosmological box of 50 megaparsec that was run in Durham by Andrew Robertson. And so both these simulations are cold dark matter plus baryons or self-interacting dark matter plus baryons, with, of course, a choice of self-interacting models, so which would correspond to the light blue line here. So where the cross-section is a cross-section of one, then the cross-section is measured in centimeters squared per gram. But in this model is my mid-range of self-interaction, so it's not too weak, but also it's not too strong, because models such as the yellow one, for example, that's a cross-section of 10, they are ruled out because they will produce big cores in galaxy clusters, and we know that galaxy clusters don't have a central core. So this model is something that still works with observations. So, yeah, which is what I have. And of course, we have the cold dark matter, the dark matter only counterpart of all this to check and compare what is the effect of variance. So the first thing is how, what happens to the profiles. So here we see in without baryons, all halos create a core. So let's see what happens. So these are the galaxies that I have simulated, and the triangles are the cold dark matter version. And then we found that you can distinguish them into families, and this is consistent with previous work made on more idealized simulations. So the red ones are the high mass galaxies. They are big ellipticals with that formed very recently and have a very regular stellar distribution, like support, not supported by non-Sitzon rotation, et cetera, et cetera. So in this case, what we find is that, yes, there's a core. So here, all the solid lines are the CDM case and the dashed line are the SIDM case. And so in the bottom panel, you see there's a ratio of the dark matter profiles and the total profiles. And in the dark matter, you have a central core that depends on the halo, but it's always there and it's down up to 50% at the very center. So these, even though we have the baryons, they still create a core, maybe not as big as you would have without the baryonic physics, because the galaxy at the center contributes to the central density. However, there's the second category of green points, and these are halos that are not as massive. So the stellar mass is lower, but also the total mass is lower. It's more like 10 in 5 and 10 to the 12 instead of 10 to the 13. And they have, in the self-interacting dark matter especially, they form a very compact central galaxy that has some rotation. So there has some disk. And this could be due to the interaction between the self-interacting dark matter and then baryonic physics implementation, which is the illustrious TNG one. In any case, for these systems that are lower masses, what happens is, sorry, it was supposed to be after. In any case, what happens is that in this case, you actually don't have a core in self-interacting dark matter, but this interaction between the baryons and the self-interactions at the center starts low level of what's called core collapse. So the two things, instead of creating a core, create an increase of the central profile. And so you have that the central density is higher in the self-interacting dark matter model. Why this is important for Lansing? Then it's because, so this figure that already appeared shows a mock image created with one of these halos and a background Gaussian source to look like some HST observation. And this is the shape of the lensed images in cold dark matter. And you see that because of the core in self-interacting dark matter, the central density is lower, so there's less lensing power, the images are smaller. On the other hand, when you have the cuspier system, it's kind of the opposite. So the effect is not that strong, but when you go from cold to self-interacting dark matter, there is an increase in central density, and so you get bigger images. And so in principle, this could be a signal at the scale of elliptical galaxies that could be seen through lensing. So in practice, what one does is take the simulation, make different projections, calculate the convergent maps, which is the projected density per arc second or whatever on the plane of the sky, and then use this to create mock images and measure the sizes of the images roughly as some circles that represent the Einstein the Einstein radius, which of course the region where the images form is, I don't know, it's not a circle, but for approximation, you can think of it as some kind of circle around the center. So we did this with many, with these 10 galaxies and many projections, 200, 300 different projections, and measured what's the result to see what a survey could see once we have enough systems. So here is what happens. So the two lines of plots are the same. So here on top is just a general distribution. So you see that indeed there is a difference. So the peak is at a different value of the Einstein radius. It just counts as a function of size. And so in the bottom plot, they are divided by, so these histograms, that filled histogram represent the halos that have the bigger halos that were red before that have a core in self-interacting dark matter, and the other is true for the green point. So you see that in cold dark matter, they're separated by size, which corresponds to mass. So these are the lowest mass ones and these are the largest mass ones. You have two, here's the first population, you have two different means. However, in self-interacting dark matter, because of this opposite effect, then the mean becomes closer in the two models. And so the question is whether or not this some signal of this kind could be observed by Euclid, for example, once one has the entire distribution of Einstein radii for hundreds of thousands of galaxies. In principle, one could use this to make a more advanced and based on higher statistic version of this to make claims on the self-interaction cross-section based on the size of the lens images. So this was interesting, but of course it was based on 10 galaxies. So now we are updating the size of the sample using this box that was run with the same self-interacting dark matter model, but with the Eagle, as part of the Eagle suite. So we go from this number of objects to the right. Clearly we have many more. So the color one corresponds to the one on the left, and then the white points are all the new ones. So we go from 9 to a total of 150, 130 halos, just because we're considering the entire volume. And this is something that a student is doing, trying to reproduce these results using a larger statistic. And this box was also already analyzed by Andrew Robertson, that looked at these simulations and other similar self-interacting dark matter simulation. And so he finds that indeed the variance have an influence on the profile. So this is a plot from his paper. And so these are the dark matter and then the stellar profiles of halos in 10 to the 11, 10 to the 13, 10 to the 15 solar mass. So in cold dark matter and to self-interacting dark matter model. So the ones we're using is the blue one, and then the orange one is a variation where the cross-section is not constant but depends on the velocity. And so it's less efficient for clusters and it's more efficient at low mass. Now you see that like there's a kind of a differential effect. So now while in dark matter only simulation, you always have a core. With the variance, this is not true. So you have a core in the high mass systems that you can use to discriminate between the model and in the low mass system, even though we only go to 10 to the 11, but one of the key objectives of self-interacting dark matter is try to explain the core in dwarf galaxies. And however, so the galaxies I'm looking at, which are the stereotypical lens galaxies of 10 to the 13, there's this kind of conspiracy because this is the mass range that's most, where there's the most efficient star formation. You see that the galaxy, there's the most stars. And so the baryons actually dominate in the center. And so it is the mass regime where the difference between all these models is the smallest. So in some way it is unfortunate. On the other hand, elliptical galaxies have been used to using shapes instead of profiles to put some of the most stringent constraints of the self-interaction cross-section. So these are plots from a paper in 2013 where this is the axis ratio of halos as a function of radius in CDM and in SIDM. So you can see that CDM halos are, sorry, there's no numbers on the y-axis for some reason. So it, one on the top and zero at the bottom. So center in the center, cold dark matter halos are way more triaxial than self-interacting dark matter halos. This is because the self-interaction also randomize the motion at the center, so they make the center more spherical. And this has been used in comparison with observations to say that the stronger self-interaction are ruled out, and possibly also cold dark matter, and then you need some kind of in-between interaction level to explain the observational elliptical galaxy scales. But again, this was based on dark matter-only simulation. So I'm trying also to update this, as I'll show in like 3-4 slides. So the idea is that sure, this mass range is not the most obvious to look at for self-interaction, because it's where you have small differences. On the other hand, it's also interesting that maybe all these models can explain well galaxies in this range, because then on the other hand, when you have constraints that exclude cross-section based on different mass range, you can see, okay, but this works for elliptical galaxies. And so it's these are alternative explanations for the galaxies we see. So from this box, now there's a student that extending the measures on the profile, and these are three pins in mass from 10 to the 12 to 10 to the 13.5. There's no bigger objects because of the box size. And so again, he's measured in the dark matter only simulations. You can see all these halos form a core, and it's really impressive that it's basically always the same size in proportion to the total radius, even though it's more than one order of magnitude in mass. And in the hydro simulations, we recover the fact that the bigger halos have a small core in the center. Then there's the intermediate phase where the two profiles are exactly identical. And then the low mass end of our sample, at least, there's a slight, there's a small cusp that forms in the self-interacting dark matter model. And so this was something we're investigating with a bigger statistic to see what happens, and to the lensing case. And also the surprising maybe thing is that this is a redshift zero in this case, but this happens very self-similarly at all at many redshifts. So here it's again below the dark matter only case, above the hydro case, and CDM versus SIDM, redshift 0, redshift 0.5, redshift 1, and really for the halos of the same mass, but a different redshift, the core size is the same. So it doesn't really seem to be a dependence, a big dependence on redshift, and also in the baryonic case, they look very similar. So this is an indication that it's really driven by the self-interaction cross-section that only depends on the local density. And once you select halos of the same mass, you recover the same behavior. So this is for profiles, and we're trying. So this is in progress. So the student in Bologna is doing this, and the next step is to have a larger statistic of Einstein radii, but it's not there yet. So hopefully we recover some difference. And then we'll try to make prediction for surveys like Euclid and LSST. And now I want to move on to something else. So that's what I worked on most recently. So for the same physical principle for which you get a core at the center of halos, so all these exchanges of energy between particles, you also have a change in the halo shape. So in cold dark matter, halo shapes have been studied since forever. And so all simulations recover this behavior on the plot on the left, so that in cold dark matter, halos are triaxial, so they are not spheres. And the center of halos is more elongated than the outskirts, because the center of halos, if you measure the shape iteratively with ellipsoidal shells, the center of ALOS retains the memory, for example, of the last major merger direction, while in the outskirts you have many interaction between each halo and the environment, and also it depends on how halos are defined. In self-interacting dark matter, in this high-density region, again, this interaction can change and randomize the motions, and so you get more spherical shapes. So this can be compared to two things now. So one is lensing. So again, here on the right, you can have, this is an image for a galaxy-galaxy lensing, where the central galaxy is a model as an SIE, so a single isothermal ellipsoid. And from the model, you can measure the axis ratio of the projected mass distribution. This is plotted down below here for the SLAC sample, which is a sample of 100 elliptical galaxies act as lenses. So you can see that also these lenses are not spheres. So the axis ratio is not one, but it peaks around 0.7, 0.8. So there is some level of ellipticity in the projected mass distribution. Or you can also compare this to what the X-ray emission. So as cluster, also elliptical galaxies are supposed to emit in the X-ray, and under the assumption as hydrostatic equilibrium, the shape of the X-ray emitting gas traces the gravitational potential. And from this, you can derive the shape of the gravitational potential and the shape of the mass distribution. And so this is what I'm trying to do to update this prediction that was based on dark matter only simulation. So for this, I'm using my zoom-in simulation. This is an example for five halos. So here, each column is a different halo. Each row is a different measure of shape. So the top is the shortest to longest axis ratio, then the second axis ratio, and below is the triaxiality parameter. So start looking at the dark matter only cases, which are the dashed lines, so the blue and purple lines. So in CDM, we find, again, in dark matter that halos are triaxial, the center is more elongated, and so on. And the triaxiality parameter is close to one, so it means that the halos are prolate, so they have one long axis and two shorter axes. Self-interactions in the absence of variance make the halo rounder, as expected. But also, as expected, as already from other cosmological simulation, the presence of variance makes the center of halos rounder. In CDM, as you can see from the green curves, and the combination of self-interactions and variance make everything even more round. So in the presence of both, halos at the center become rounder, while in the outskirts, they're more elongated. So the trend is kind of reverted with respect to before, and then the outskirts are the same in all models because it's where the density is low. And this is true in 3D. So in 3D, you can, for each halo, you can really distinguish the different cases. In 2D, once you project the mass distribution into along many line of sight and then measure the projected 2D ellipticity, now we can look, for example, at the middle plot. There are all different versions of ellipticity. So you see that, so these bands are one sigma error, depending on the projection. You can see already that the difference is not as clear as here. So all the models, except for the self-interacting dark matter without variance, that is really, really round. In projection, so you get a contribution from the round center, but you also have the rest of the halo that falls into the same projection. And so things becomes very similar. So now I'm trying to see if the comparison between these simulations and observation can tell us something about what we observe. So these are shapes as a function of radius. So now what I will do is take a slice of this very close to the center, around 10 to 15 kiloparsec, and see how the shape distribution look like. So basically slicing this in vertical and at a scale that can be probed both by the X-ray and the lensing signal. So these are the shape distribution at 10 kiloparsec from the center. So the top is the dark matter only simulation. So, and the x-axis is the ellipticity. So cold dark matter has higher ellipticity. Self-interacting dark matter has this plateau towards very, very spherical, well, circular in this case, shapes. Once you add the baryons, indeed, the two distribution become incredibly similar. Once, not case by case, but on average, they become incredibly similar. And then on the bottom is what is observed in gravitational lensing in three different lens samples, where the projected ellipticity is calculated for the axis ratio. So they definitely don't look like the cold dark matter case. They look a bit more like the ones with the baryons. And so what I did was to run a KS test, so a Kolmogorov-Smirnov test. So the key here is, so the top panels show the distance. So this is the maximum distance between the cumulative distribution. So the bigger is this value, then it means distribution differ a lot. And then the lowest panel is the p-value. So what's the probability that this distance will be found if the two things are drawn by the same parent distribution? So here's many numbers. So the left two small panels compare simulation to each other, and the one on the right compares simulation and observation. So when you compare simulation to each other, indeed you can distinguish between them almost in all cases. So the biggest differences are between the CDM dark matter only and the hydro, or the CDM or the two dark matter only cases, but in all cases, all the p-values are very small. So in principle, you can, the simulated data sets can be distinguished. The one that's more difficult to distinguish, the two self-interacting dark matter case. But when you then compare each of these with the observed samples, one thing that's very clear is that none of them looks like cold dark matter without the baryon. So because the probability that this is true is very low. So this is obvious, but it means that also previous studies have a bias in the estimate of the shapes. And then you can see that different samples, so Lebel samples are actually 4.5, prefer self-interacting dark matter kind of with baryons. The slacks prefer CDM with baryons. And then, sorry, the third case, the third case is also a bit agnostic. So this is what happens at 10 kiloparsec from the center. I run the same test at different radii because indeed you don't know exactly what's the size of the Einstein radius. And so this is the same p-value and distance as a function of distance from the center. And so you can see that even some, the CDM cases are definitely bad. And even if in some case the self-interacting dark matter without baryons look nice, it's only really in one region, while the two hydro runs have equivalent predictions. So it's unclear if this measurement can really be used to distinguish cold dark matter from these self-interacting dark matter models. And this means that previous constraints that have excluded this self-interacting dark matter model at elliptical galaxy scales are overestimated the chances of doing that because they were not including the baryons. And so as a last point, so now also instead of just doing lensing, one can also look at the X-ray emission. So given the dark matter, the total density projected at the center of halos, this is the same halo in the two runs. Then we have a code that uses the actual gas distribution and some tables to compute what the X-ray emission looks like in Chandra, for example, and in XMM. So similar wavelength, different resolution. So here you would look at this and you would think, okay, CDM is more elongated, SIDM is more circular. So there is a clear difference, but this is what comes out randomly by only looking at one projection. If you rotate these halos a bit like along a different axis, this is what actually happens. So in this other projection, it probably doesn't look along the total, the longest axis. The shapes are more similar. This is why it's very important to look at many realizations of different line of sights. And so again, I calculated the shapes of the projected mass distribution as before, and of the X-ray emissions. So these are rounded because they trace the gravitational potential instead of the mass distribution, the gravitational potential is rounder by definition of a certain factor, so this is okay. And then I compare them with a measurement from a paper on elliptic observed elliptical galaxies by McDaniel et al. Last year. So these are 11 galaxies observed in the same bands by Chandra and XMM. And so here on the top, so the solid white line is the simulation prediction for Chandra MOX. The dashed line, it's a bit, yeah, maybe hard to see, is the same for SIDM instead of CDM, and below the same for XMM Newton, while all the color bands are observations. So it's good, it seems that we, with simulations, it's actually really nice because we reproduce the level of average ellipticity around 0.15, 0.2 as a function of radius, and we recover the fact that at the center is more elongated and outskirt is more flat, at least in the Chandra observations. However, given the error bars, it's once again not easy to distinguish between the two. And so, yeah, the main conclusion of all this is that previous works I've neglected the variance because of historical reason, because of computational region. I mean, it's not necessarily a critique of what they were doing. It's just the things progresses. And as much as we have learned that variance affect cold dark matter halos, they of course also affect self-interacting dark matter halos. And so we have to be very careful to include the effect of variance in all the predictions when in comparison to observations. Yeah, so this is my endpoint. So variance are important, they have to be into simulation. And so we can see this in two ways, right? Again, so in one way, there's all these people that try to always find the definitive proof that dark matter is cold or not, or warm or self-interacting. And so this probably doesn't come in this case from the scale of elliptical galaxy, as much as we talked before. On the other hand, this means that all these three models are good to explain the properties of observed elliptical galaxies. And so we have more than one dark matter model that can give us the same lenses that we are observing. And this can be used in combination with other mass scales if other mass scales are indeed not compatible with CDM or with this SIDM model. We can also say, we can always say, okay, but we already know that it is intermediate mass range, both. So yeah, that's my summary. Thanks for
listening. Thank you, Julia, for this very complete seminar. I have a list of questions, but please invite the other participants before. To do you have any comment, any question? If not, I can start from the very last one. Curiosity, the plot where you show the comparison between X-ray and lensing measurement, it seems to me that the length scale you're showing, well, here, they go up to the hundreds of kiloparsecs.
No. So these are not, this is not lensing, this is just projected mass distribution. So it's the truth.
Okay, so we're actually talking about galaxies, not group of galaxies.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I mean, also these ellipticity measurements in this case are not lensing per se. They're just
They're just projected. Okay, I see. Okay.
Because so lensing doesn't go out so far.
Yeah. Okay. No. My very first question was: how do you model in simulation the self-interactions between dark matter by some effective force, by some effective pressure?
So this depends on the implementation. In this case, I think they are modeled as this is in a repo, and it's what has been done by Mark Forkelsberger. So in this my simulation are and also Andrew's simulations are like classic self-interacting dark matter simulation in the sense that
what do you mean?
It's all based there's new models that include weirder effect like dark radiation and thermal things. Here is just a probabilistic effect. So the length is measured, I think, like above the Einstein condensate on large scales, and then you take each couple of particles, you determine a region of space how many you expect to scatter, and then it's assigned randomly
Okay.
It's a momentum assigned randomly to a subset of the particles.
Okay.
So it's done on,
So stochastically you define a region, and you define a region and stochastically you apply some random momentum to.
Yeah.
Okay, I see. Thank you. And the other question I had was, eventually, the density profiles of illustrious galaxies, they show a factor or two difference at 1 kiloparsec radius between co-dark matter and self-interacting dark matter. Don't remember. No, a bit later, maybe. Derail. I don't know. Later. Later, no. Well, here.
Yeah,
for the dark matter only, anyway. Mm-hmm. Not for the full hydro. So I was wondering if it could be interesting to eventually assess any sizable effect of simulation on these small scales to measure simultaneously, for the same galaxies, both the gravity GG lensing, galaxy lensing, and the rotation curves of galaxies on that scales. Would it be interesting, or do you think that once you add the baryons, you go into toward the full hydro prescription, so there's no hope to distinguish between cold and self-interaction?
I don't know. I mean, there's people that do this with rotation curve, because the general effect of self-interaction is described as to produce a more diverse set of density profile and rotation curves.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it's just that. I think there's more people mostly doing this for lower mass galaxy, though, like Milky Way or below, mostly.
Okay. Maybe can you send to us some reference of these remarks?
Yeah, one of the main thing that people are trying to do is to measure rotation curves of very high redshift galaxies. So there's
they're very tiny, right?
So if you see, like, if you can model the rotation curves of the sources, for example, of lensed galaxies, then these are very high redshift when you expect that some interacting dark matter models could start kicking in. Mm-hmm. And explain why not all rotation velocities at such high redshift now. There's a discrepancy between the properties of high redshift galaxies and CDM simulations. And we don't know if it's because the models is actually calibrated for redshift zero mostly.
Mm-hmm.
There's not enough resolution, or because there's actually an effect. So there's people mm-hmm. trying to do this.
I see.
But you need higher resolution probably.
Mm. Thank you. Questions or comment in the chat? No. Eric, please. We don't hear you.
Hello, can you hear me?
Not really. A bit better, but not so much.
Okay, right in the chat. I hear your voice, but it's very, very far.
Yeah, I am very, very far.
That's fine.
Okay.
Do you notice a change in the distribution of the satellites, like we found with Priya Natarajan paper in clusters?
For this I haven't looked. I have looked for my zooms simulations, and in this case no. So in this case I don't even look at the so much the distribution. I looked at the mass function. The mass function was very similar, so there was no suppression in the numbers. I didn't really look at if they're distributed differently. And so in these big boxes here, I don't know, because I'm not allowed to, because someone else is doing subhalos with these simulations. But we are doing now with Massimo also, and the postdoc in Italy, there's a, well, after Massimo found this difference in the lensing of satellite clusters, now we're trying to do zoom-in simulations with self-interacting dark matter from the Dianoga clusters to see if this happens. The problem that we're facing now is that, so this case, I mean, I would say 100% of the self-interacting dark matter simulation, what we do is to use the bionic physics model from the cold dark matter onto the self-interacting case. And what we're seeing for clusters is now that if we just add, because it's easier to look at an individual system, if we add the self-interaction, then yes, the location of satellites changes, but the problem is that they also, you don't reproduce some of the observed luminosities of satellites. And so when we're trying to understand if then we need to recalibrate the model to get both.
This is a, you have a reference for that?
No, it's ongoing, but I will let you know. So there was a paper that on the cold dark matter once by Antonio Ragagnin later, like I can send it to you. And he looked and tried to reproduce what Massimo found with variations of the feedback and resolution in cold dark matter for the satellites, and really didn't manage. So now we're trying to see if high self-interaction at the level of galaxy cluster can reproduce that. But it turns out to be a bit tricky with how self-interaction and the bionic physics interact.
Thank you.
Other questions? Or comment? No. So, well, thank you, Julia, again for your participation. And let me advertise the next week cafe club. I've lost the webpage. Next week, the speaker will be Marco Viro from JPL, if you remember correctly, talking about the early universe was dust rich and slimy hot. Suggested and invited by Gillian Lagash. So, let's see next week. And bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.